Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Our good friend, and he is a good friend, native Clevelander. You know him better from the MLB Network, Intentional Talk. You also know him from the NFL Network, and you know him from BattleBots. And we hope that some of you know him from our show, Baskin and Phelps. And right now he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Good morning, guys. What's up?
Hi, Chris.
You know, we've got two pretty hot teams here in town right now. It's kind of fun.
Yes.
It's kind of fun.
And one hasn't played a game.
Not to count it. True. You know, good week for the Browns, you know, get a couple of days in of practice with the Colts. It's interesting because I think coaches love it. I don't think the players love it. I mean, I know Aaron Rodgers has been steadfast against it. T.Y. Hilton, I know, came out and said some stuff this week. So it's kind of interesting about whether or not the players truly like it. I'm sure at some point, even though both coaches talked about it, there will be some fists flying. It's just the nature of the beast when you got guys that are literally competing for their livelihood. So we'll see. I mean, I hope. All I care about is I just want everybody to get out healthy. That's all I care about.
What do you think general managers think of it?
It's probably a good way to evaluate players, I have to imagine, right?
I mean,
because, you know, for so long you're seeing how good they are against your team, and you have an idea about how good a team you have, but maybe in some areas you say that we're better than we actually are, and there's some areas where you think we're not as strong, but we're actually better. And a team like the Colts, I mean, I'm going to tell you something. They're really good. You know, as long as Andrew Luck's ankle / calf is okay, they're one of the teams to beat in the AFC. I just think they've done a tremendous job. So I think for the Browns, it'll be a good couple days.
If everybody's so concerned about injuries, Chris, why do they do these?
Well, I mean, whether you're doing this against the Colts or doing this against the Browns, I mean, we saw what happened with Chad Thomas the other day, right? I mean, that's, you know, if you're not going to go out and put pads on, if you're just going to do walkthroughs, you're not going to be ready for the season. So you have to put pads on at some point and practice. Are they like full games? No, they're not. But they're in between probably regular practices and preseason games.
All right, let's go back to last Thursday night because we haven't talked to you since then. What was your assessment of game one of the preseason?
Good. I've only gotten through, I think, half of it because usually it's really tough to stomach the second half.
I agree with you.
A first preseason game. It's really tough. It's not good football. There's flags every other play and things of that nature. But, you know, like I remember a specific Browns preseason game from when I was a teenager, and I want to say it was probably during the 87 preseason. I think we were at Atlanta, and it was the third preseason game, so it was the one where the starters basically play into the third quarter. And the Browns offense looked so good. And I was like, I remember watching with a buddy of mine, and I was like, I cannot wait for this season. Like, this offense and this team is just going to take it to another level. And I kind of felt that way with the first drive. Like the excitement of it, I had it spun up on my computer because it wasn't on locally here. And after the first missed pass to Willie's, they just looked super smooth without their two best receiving weapons. So dare to dream a little bit, guys. Dare to dream.
I like that thought. I like
it
a lot. Yesterday, the Indians and the Red Sox have another exciting game. And we've been debating several aspects of it. First, let's start with Corey Kluber. If Corey's good to go, where does he fall for you in the rotation, if a playoff possibility, whatever?
Well, you're too far away from a playoff possibility. You don't know what he's going to look like. I mean, guys don't come right off the DL in this sport and automatically are back to where they once were. And let's remember, he wasn't very good the first, you know, he was struggling when he got hit by that line drive, as Kluber usually does at times. I mean, he had a few good starts, but it always seemingly takes him like a month to get cranked up to Kluberville. So you're not going to see him probably for more than five innings out of the gate. My guess is this would be his last. They just made the announcement that he's going to make another AAA start.
Yep.
That'll probably be his last one, is my guess, because they need help.
I think he could get one more, though, if they wanted to. If they wanted to have one more rehab start, they could.
I'll bet not, though. I'll bet Chris is right.
Yeah.
Because even if you just throw him 55 pitches at the major league level, it's just at this time of year, bullpen arms are dragging anyway. It's just you're 4 months in. It's a heavy workload. I mean, everybody's dragging, but really the bullpen. And these guys have been so overused. Like, it puts the pressure on Clevinger and Beaver in particular to go seven innings every time. And Clevinger was not as good as he's been yesterday, right? So today there's an immense amount of pressure on a guy like Shane Beaver to give at least seven innings, just so you can give a few of those guys a breather. I mean, Clifford seemingly is pitching every day, it feels like. Ollie Perez, it feels like he gets up every day in that bullpen. And, yeah, maybe it'll get you to where you want to go to October, but if the goal is to win this whole thing, you're going to need those guys to be as fresh as they can be. And right now they're just not.
Chris, we were chatting about this one yesterday. Everybody, the assumption is that Yasiel Puig is out of here at the end of the year because he's a free agent. And I asked why. Because he's never made $10 million in a year. The Indians have Kipnis coming off the books. They're not going to have to pay Trevor Bauer. I would think there's a possibility here because I can't imagine Puig breaking the bank just based on what he's done throughout his career productivity-wise. Only 70 or more RBIs one time. Do you think there's a shot that he comes back here? Probably a short-term deal, but is there a shot?
Well, that's the only way it would be, is on a short-term deal. I think because of the collective bargaining agreement coming up shortly, that a lot of teams are going to be hesitant. I mean, you saw what happened in free agency last year, that two guys really got paid, right, in Harper and Machado, and that didn't happen until late, you know, right before spring training,
right,
basically. So it's those middle-tier guys that are going to kind of get squeezed out. Now, there aren't a ton of everyday ball players, decent ones, that are still in their 20s that are available via free agency. So Puig, you know, could command a salary of, you know, I'm just guessing here, anywhere between $8 and $11 million a year. Now, are the Indians willing to do a three-year, $30 million deal? Probably not, for a guy who admittedly before the season said, listen, I've got to really play my butt off because it's a contract year. You know, when people were telling the Indians, you're going to get the best 2 months of Puig because he knows he's playing for a contract. And this is not to take a shot at Yasiel Puig, but he's the one who came out and said it at the beginning of the year. He admitted it. So does he resort back to some of the Puigness that we had seen in his less mature days? I mean, that play that he beat out on a ball to shortstop in Minnesota, not everybody does that in the major leagues. Most guys are thrown out. He did not get thrown out on that ball. Are you going to see that after he signs an extension?
I
don't
know.
Point.
Good question.
It's a great point. Hey, I know you just touched on it for a second, and without getting too deep into it, with the CBA, what do we have, another 2 years left on the CBA?
Yeah, it's after is it 2021 or is it 2020? Now I've kind of lost count of where we are.
I think
it's 21.
I just remember reading a couple stories over the last couple months. How far apart do you think they are with their thoughts? And could we be headed towards a work stoppage? I hope not, especially with
know.
The anniversary.
I mean, yeah.
2021.
At one point, I thought there was no way. And then at the beginning of this season, kind of in spring training, when you started to hear some things, then I was like, boy, this is really a possibility. And then I do think that there's a lot of smart people on both sides. Now, the players' union side has gone under massive change in their leadership. And so this is really Tony Clark's crew's first crack at this. And so how much do they want to fight for? Are they really worried based on what happened last year in free agency and could transpire again this year in free agency?
Right.
Or is this just kind of where we are? I mean, really, the trade deadline kind of followed exactly the way free agency went. Kind of boring, kind of a stalemate, and then one or two enormous moves, right, with Zach Greinke and the three-team trade with, that included us.
Right.
Other than that, it was a lot of little moves, and that's kind of what the offseason was. Like, they were willing to break the bank on two guys who were in their mid-20s, but the rest of the crew kind of got shut out. And so is the players' union just going to kind of recognize that there's a resetting of the financial situation that baseball's in, or are they really going to try and step on the accelerator and force the owner's hand? Because I imagine there's going to be tremendous pushback from the owners if that's the way the players' union goes.
Hmm. Hey, you had Tito on yesterday, intentional talk, right?
Yeah.
How'd that go? What'd you learn?
A brand new story. We found some great video of when he was a Milwaukee Brewer from 30 years ago, and he was being walked intentionally. And I don't know if you remember the old umpire Ken Kaiser.
Yeah.
You
remember him?
Yep. He was a pro wrestler.
Former pro wrestler. Very good.
Thank you.
And all we saw was the video. Tito got tossed after being intentionally walked on his way to first base. And we were like, what the heck is going on? So we needed a story out of it. And I will just tell you, just go to our Twitter feed at Intentional Talk, and he tells us about it. Just click on the link. I mean, the whole interview is worthwhile just because he's Tito being Tito, and you can find out why he was riding the scooter on the red carpet parade at the All-Star game. Listen, he's entertaining. If you've got 8 or 9 minutes to spare today, do yourself a favor. Go watch it.
It's a fine idea. As you sit here right now, what's your confidence level that the Indians win the division?
I mean, not great just because the Twins have the easiest schedule remaining in baseball. There's a lot of Tigers, White Sox, and Royals on that schedule, and they're still a pretty good team. It's hard for the Indians to keep playing the kind of ball they have been over the last 2.5 months when you got to go to New York for four. I mean, that's a drain on your pitching once again. You got to finish up with Boston, who, as much as they've struggled this year, can hit the crap out of the baseball. They still have a series with Tampa Bay. They've got a series with the Mets, who are playing great baseball. They finish up with the Nationals. They still have two more series with the Twins. So I told you this last week or 2 weeks ago, if the Indians win the division, they will have earned it to the nth degree. I think it's just going to be a fight just to get into the playoffs. It's so draining. And I hope so, because this is a really fun team. And if they get to October, it's the type of team that could go on a 2016 or 1997 type run where you don't feel like they're the best in baseball, but damn, they could surprise a few teams.
Chris, you're on the clock for 30 seconds because that's all I have left. Lindor steals third last night. Should he have shouldn't he have?
I mean, as Rick Manning said during the broadcast, that is the one where you have to be 100% sure, meaning you've gotten two extra steps off the bag at second and feel comfortable, because a base hit and you, with your speed, you're winning, you're scoring. And we get two bites at the apple barring a line out double play, you know, meaning that Mercado gets his shot and then the hottest guy in our lineup gets his. So I understand what he was thinking, because if he gets the third with one out, it puts immense pressure on the pitcher, the catcher, and the rest of the defense. But to say I wasn't throwing a few things around the bedroom watching that one.
I'm happy your son's already in college then. I wouldn't want him to have to witness that.
1 week from today, we take him.
All right. One week from today
is when I'll be crying my eyes out.
Call us on the way home. Jeff will talk you off the ledge.
On the way to the airport.
Okay, he's going to call you on the way to the airport, Jeff. He'll talk you off
Good
the
luck,
ledge.
Buddy.
You'll be okay, man. Congratulations.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Bye, Chris.
Bye.
All right, Chris Rose, you know him from MLB Network, NFL Network. He's a good friend of the show. He joins us every week, and we always appreciate his time, and he does fine work, especially when we get to watch him on Intentional Talk or any of the other network shows that he does.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.